Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. We've got a special program. Why? Because we've got both Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer on today. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hello. It's great to be with you all.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Sherry, you have done many of our workshops, but this time you and your loving husband, Kyle, both facilitated groups. And I'm just wondering if you'd take a second. What did you witness there over the course of the weekend at that Intimacy in Marriage workshop? Then I want Larry to come in and just read one of the testimony or an excerpt from a testimony there. But what did you experience?
You know, it's so funny. You think about, I love Sunday morning. It's like Easter morning and the redemption of it all. But it's like melting these blocks of ice. Looking at people coming in that are really afraid, many of them, in light of what's going to happen. But over the course of the weekend, you watch them connecting with folks in their group, listening to their therapist, hearing the great teaching, observing some of the holding time that Mylon and Kay do, and then really addressing and personalizing their part in what's keeping them disconnected in their marriage. On Sunday morning, there were so many testimonies, you guys, that I actually sent out a, I Facebooked about it because somebody had written something about husbands and kind of their frustration. And I said, hey, I got to tell you, gang, I'm just coming back from the New Life Marriage Weekend intensive. And I said, there were guys that stood up there and said, I will not continue to hurt my wife. They owned it. I'm damaging my marriage. I've been using porn, and I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I need to get help. And there were women that owned their stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, I've been angry and pushing them away. So it is unreal that you can spend 3 days and come out with ownership over what's happening in your marriage in order to make the change. So,
and then a plan, you leave with a plan to make it permanent.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Sure,
Larry, why don't you share with us that testimony?
Yeah, here's an excerpt. It's longer than this, but this man says, I showed up this weekend with one goal, to prove to my wife that she was the root of our problems. Instead, Jesus met me with forgiveness and acceptance. I realized how much I have contributed to the pain our marriage has suffered. And he goes on down below, I'm committing to work hard to grow, adapt and repair my brokenness. Mm. I'm committing to replacing anger with listening, isolation with touching, and shaming with adoration. God bless me with my wife. He's fighting for us.
Isn't that
That's
great?
Incredible.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're one of these people that you've got one of these all men are this or all women are this, we saw some changes that makes that not true. We saw some people that were entrenched in their position, that just they were just there because they wanted somebody to tell their spouse, get your act together. And then before it's over, you know, they're saying, it's me, I'm going to go to work.
Well, and you know what, Steve? We don't know what we don't know. And that's what I saw this weekend, is for the first time there was nickels dropping in the room, lights going off, and people going, my wounds are hurting other people, and I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
My
wounds,
not you're a bad spouse, but oh my goodness, look at what I'm doing.
It makes me think, Steve, of what you said often. You quoted it, you don't know you need help until you get help.
Right, right. And what a powerful thing when you discover the impact that your behavior has had on other people.
Yeah.
That's what maturity is all about. Well, we'll be back right after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And that marriage intensive, that's coming up, you know, in June. You could sign up now and get the early birdie special. Would really, really be important to do that. So we encourage you. Call now. Never too late, never too early. We're going to the phones. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000 if you'd like to join us here. And right now I'm going to talk to Sarah, Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life today?
So after many years of intimacy issues in my marriage, I recently found out that my husband was abused as a child, and that he also struggles with same-sex attraction and pornography use. We're in counseling together and separately, and willing to do everything we can to work on our marriage, but I am still just feeling incredibly sad and depressed, and I just don't know if you have any advice for me on how to, I guess, heal for myself.
Well, let me ask you this. What was his, how did he explain never telling you about this?
It was like, he said things like, I thought you would not want to marry me, would have divorced me, or would just never love me after learning those things.
Yeah, that might have been the case, and you would have had that choice, wouldn't you? And he stole that from you, see? And not only that, he didn't tell you, then he acted on what he knew. So I'm just wondering if you've dealt with the full depth of the betrayal that was put upon you. Because sometimes, you know, we're trying to make it all work and we're being nice and everything, but we're not fully invested in the total story there. So I'm just challenging a little bit before I turn it over to Sherry and Chris. Have you fully dealt with what he did?
I don't know if I have. Like, even our counselor says that, you know, I kind of want to pull you back a little bit and let you feel some things. And before, you know, you just... So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have felt a lot of anger towards... There was a specific person that he had been with before our marriage that I knew, and I felt very deceived in that.
Well, you were deceived, and you're entitled to feel that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, I think the feeling I'm feeling the most is just very sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's easier to access the sad than the anger. And then for other people, it's easier to access the anger than the sad. But there's, if, I mean, I would think there'd be quite a bit of anger down in there somewhere. Sherry, what are you thinking? I mean, you wrote Intimate Deception. Boy, this is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. So, Sarah, how soon? When did you find out?
Like 3 months ago.
Okay. So it's really fresh, and I wouldn't even be surprised if you were still in a state of shock. And you know, from the women that I've spoken with whose husbands are involved with same-sex attraction, I think there's a whole additional layer of loss that comes with that.
Yes.
So can you tell us just a little bit about what that's been like to you, for you to find that out?
It's like, I even told our counselor, I feel like I would have been able to cope better if it was a woman, like, that I didn't know about. Like, it just, it's like I feel insecure in who I am, my body, and just, you know, can he ever feel attraction towards me? Does he says he does, but does he? And just this, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
You just did. You just did, my dear. And you know what? There are so many people listening to you right now saying, hey, that's me as well. And so the sadness is really appropriate because you're in a state of deep loss. You didn't see it. And as Steve mentioned, you didn't have it. You weren't consenting to it. And you didn't even know about it. You've been with him intimately, sexually, sharing life over the years. Y'all probably have kids.
Yes.
Okay. You've had children together. And so your life has looked a certain way. And yeah, you knew there were some intimacy issues, but you never knew that he would be with a man. And you never knew that he was with someone that you knew ahead of time. Those are additional deceptions, additional betrayals. So I have a chapter in my book that is called Remember When Sex Was Safe and Skydiving Was Dangerous. And I think it's very common for us to feel bad about ourselves, about our bodies, and begin to judge ourselves with this new situation. But truly what that is, it's shame. It's something that he's been ashamed of, right? Because he was sexually abused, and there's a path of healing for him as well. But for some reason, the way our brain's wired, shame sticks to us like Velcro.
It has a contagion.
It does. And so it's about you beginning to tell yourself the truth again and learning how to heal. And so I know there's hope for you. I know there's healing for you. I have 20 chapters of how you can do that. But I want you to do what your counselor says, is just sit in this and be honest and real. Whether you're angry, whether you're sad, it's where you are, because you're just waking up to what's been going on for decades. What's your thought, Chris?
Yeah.
I have nothing but to say yes, and just one thing. As you're working through this, is your husband committed to a restoration process?
Yes, he is.
Okay. And it is just requiring honesty from him. And we're not just talking about behavioral honesty, although that is crucially important. We're talking about honesty of the heart. We're talking about honesty of what he's feeling and experiencing. And also, you know, the shame that he may be experiencing, or that he is experiencing, to be quite honest, will have a tendency, or may have a tendency, to project onto you, and you want to set boundaries around that. He's got to own his own shame. He's got to own his own embarrassment, guilt, whatever the case may be, because that actually is a crucial part of his own healing. So what I don't want you to try to do is rescue him out of his difficult feelings. Let him work through that, but also just, you know, require that of him as you're requiring that of yourself.
Okay, two things. One, he struggled with this before you, right?
Yes.
So you know that. And you know this has nothing to do with your attractiveness or your how beautiful you are, how appealing you are. You know that, but it's hard to feel that.
Yes.
And I would say when you finally feel it, you'll know that a lot of healing has been done. You'll be able to say, yeah, this man, this guy was broken, and it didn't matter who he married. The other thing I want to say, for a man to deceive you in marrying you, deceive you while you're married, it's almost a pathological level of lying to do that. So when we say being truthful, it's not what he tells you. It's what's verifiable that's truthful. If he says, well, I had a good meeting today, then you don't assume that he went to that meeting.
Okay.
You say, well, tell me about the meeting. Where was it? Did you stay? Did you talk to people? Did you stay for the whole thing?
Okay.
See, because it really is. I mean, we've dealt with a lot of this stuff for a long time. It's a very, very pathological path that his lying took to hook you into marrying him. See, it'd be one thing if he was different and then he didn't want to tell you about the past that he's gotten beyond, but that's not it. He didn't want to tell you about who he was.
You know, Steve, you're reminding me of when I was first married to Connor. And Connor, and it may be the same with your husband, Sarah, Connor thought that marrying me would somehow right the wrong behavior, that would somehow move him into healthy sexuality. And so he hoped upon hope, even though he had a past and was already addicted to porn. He thought that I would be that healing agent. But it doesn't work that way, right? He's got sexual abuse in his past. He's used to hiding and covering that. And he needs help. Both of you do. So there's healing possible, right? There's healing.
Without a doubt.
I can think of couples right now in my face that have had same-sex attraction, that have walked through this. They have gotten the right treatment, and they are married and even stronger. So don't give up. I've got them in my mind's eye right now.
Yes, and Sarah, my hope for you and your husband is that you're both motivated. And that is the first and essential key, is motivated to the recovery process, because it does take a long time. It can be very painful, or is very painful. But God writes one type of story, and it's always redemption. So stay in it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, this isn't just coming down on the side of, because it's a same-sex issue. I mean, if a man said to a woman, I used to be, you know, sleeping with prostitutes, and then he's marrying you and acting like he doesn't anymore, but he's still doing it. I mean, it's the same thing. That's a very different kind of problem there, and to do this through kids and all of that, it's very, very a difficult, very unique situation that should never, ever be taken lightly. And so I just wanted to put that caution there. We'll send you Intimate Deception. If there was any way you could get to the Restore workshop that we're doing, that's where a lot of major, major healing could take place for you. And, you'll find other women there struggling in the same area. Anybody else interested in that, you can find out about it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Larry from Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Not too bad. Got a question, and maybe hard to answer, but I'm 60 years old. I've struggled with porn addiction for a long time, been to every man's battle, been to a lot of groups, counseling, and all that, and I still see a counselor. Had a lot of anger issues, I guess, but what I'm struggling with is, you know, I can stop for a while, and then all of a sudden start up. Stop and start up. I don't know. I'm just disgusted with myself, and I don't I don't really know what I plan to do. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, but don't seem to have a real answer.
Well, you know, a lot of times when guys have no close relationship with a dad, it's hard for them to care about another man enough to stay accountable to another man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my parents have been gone for a while. I never really knew my biological father, and my stepfather and me never really hit it off, to put
yeah.
it that way.
So see, when guys leave Every Man's Battle, they connect and bond with some other guys. And now it matters that if I do this, I got to go tell this guy. And I care about him, he cares about me. But not having a close relationship with dad makes that kind of difficult to ever mean anything to you. So you're just out there on your own. We'll talk about this. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us on the program, we'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
Doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking to Larry and really having a hard time ever putting together some good long-term recovery. Been to Every Man's Battle. Chris, your thoughts here.
Yeah, well, Larry, following up what Steve said, is that what happens, I believe, is what it's kind of like an eating disorder where there's a binge and a purge. Like you can go a season without it. Mm-hmm. And then what happens inside of you is that your stress levels are building up and building up and building up. And that there's another part of your brain that takes over that knows that the only relief to the amount of anxiety or distress that you're carrying inside is to act out. And what Steve was alluding to is one of the ways that really helps us decrease our stress and our anxiety is relational connection, is sharing it with another person. And especially for addiction, this isn't just like a luxury that we should be engaged in every once in a while. This is the importance of recovery groups, that we have people that we can talk to on a daily basis, that both we can connect with at a little bit deeper level, let them know what's going on, but also hold us accountable. And if our distress or an obsession trigger, a lust trigger kicks in too much, we have a lifeline there. And the other thing I would just want to ask you about is just your overall stress levels in your life. You know, the big book of AA talks about that alcoholics don't have a drinking problem, they have a life problem. And a lot of times what we don't look at in our addiction, or at least in our recovery, is that we have to fundamentally change the way we do some of life and decrease our stress, increase our connection, and increase, of course, our connection to God as well.
And I have one more thought, Larry. So I imagine that the porn you look at has an arousal template or a porn template of the porn that you're most attracted to is when you feel like you have power, or you're watching porn where somebody is having power over somebody else. I think about your past and how men in your life who would have been the ones to give you power or help you feel powerful, you haven't had that. And so this idea that I'm powerless, I'm helpless. I was just thinking, I wonder if he's ever felt powerful. Like, has there ever been a time in your life that you have personally felt powerful, which is the opposite of I'm disgusted, I'm disgusting, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm helpless over this. Has there ever been a time where you felt powerful?
No.
Yeah.
I just make long story short, I've had a lot of help problems from the time I was born. I was born with spina bifida and a lot of other things, seizures, stuff like that.
Totally get that. So do you see how that plays into that I'm powerless and helpless? And why, when you look at porn, it's kind of the only place you can find your power. But it's not a healthy power, right? And so I want to suggest you do some trauma work underneath your recovery. And I want to suggest something called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a form of treatment. It's called EMDR. But I want you to unravel that hairball of powerlessness that has a long tail into your family history so that you can actually work on getting your choice back.
Mm-hmm. They don't flash lights or nothing in your eyes.
No lights flashing in your eyes.
No, but I'll tell you this. Another thing is that it would really help you to go back to Every Man's Battle again, mm-hmm. and go through that again. Mm-hmm. And this time, you know, really connect with the guys and tell them how hard it is to connect. And then when you leave, you get involved in sustained victory and you stay connected with some real guys, and you get this kind of trauma treatment, and I think you'd be calling us back in a year saying, wow, it really works, you know. When you get down to business, it really does work. I think it would be a totally different outcome for you.
Well,
but yeah,
here's the thing with me. I did it, you know, and you know, I saved the money, I went, did it, and took the time off work, you know. Especially where I work at, it's hard to get off. And then I got off for a few days, you know, I went. And I really enjoyed, you know, they hit home runs, you know, pretty much every day. But it was hard to connect with people, you know. And I don't want to sound like a sad sack, but this is just the honest truth. I've kind of had a rough life. And when I start opening up to people, they kind of shun me when they hear what's gone on in my life. You know what happened to me, and I don't know.
Larry, your father shunned you. Your stepfather shunned you. Are you even surprised that you would feel that these men would shun you? They might have been grimacing at the pain. They might have felt overwhelmed by your story. But what was told by Steve when we started the show is the linchpin here, my friend. You have got to not be with just people. You need to bond with men. Mm-hmm. Men who can be hardy enough to hear your pain and still wrap their arms around you anyway. Because that is what you need.
And this time, when you're sharing, you're starting by saying, I've had a really hard life, and a lot of times when I've shared, people don't want to be around me, or they kind of reject me, and so I'm kind of scared here.
Perfect.
That's how you do it this time.
Perfect.
And now your counselor knows what's going on with you, and your counselor can really help you deal with that. So glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Restoration Bible. I hope that's going to help you get back in there to Every Man's Battle. I think you can do it a different way.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. I think we lost Steve here, but this is Larry Sonnenberg, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the things about Club New Life. If you haven't signed up for Club New Life, I want to just name some of the videos that are available to you on our Club New Life library. And if that doesn't entice you to want to sign up, something's wrong, but we need your help. We need more people signing up for this than we're getting in order to meet our budget this year. And it's early in the year. We don't want to fall behind. Okay. And thank you. Everybody who has signed up, thank you for that. Okay. Steve did a series on the trauma series. We have a counselor, Sam Fraser, did thing on roots of addiction. We have another counselor who's a widow herself recently. She did a thing on grieving with the loss of a spouse. Mylan Kay did a whole series on the comfort circle. Challenges to intimacy, Steve did those. Principles of addiction, Chris, you did those, a five-part series. Protecting our children from exposure to porn, Shelly Martinkus did that. Sherry Keffer did the Triune Council of God, or the Triune Council of the Brain.
Of the Brain.
I'm sorry. Reactive Living, Steve did. Broken Intimacy, Steve. Understanding and Loving a Person With, that eight-book set. Steve summarized each book. Gaslighting. Sherry did one on gaslighting. Alice did something on character change. Steve did something on going deeper. Dave Stoop did something on when someone you love is addicted. Dave Stoop did one on the 12 steps. He did 12 of them on the 12 steps. Alice Benton did something on the power of the word. Jason Martinkus, Recognizing Real Recovery. Jill Hubbard, Isolated and Alone, Increasing Motivation with ADD.
A lot of good stuff there.
It just keeps going. And so what I'm trying to say to you folks is if you want to have value, if you want to help us at the same time, if you want to do a win-win, please sign up for Club New Life. call 800-NEW-LIFE, go online to newlife.com. And we've done 220 videos are online, 308 we've recorded, and we'll be putting those up as the weeks go. So thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah, okay. So please, you can help us and help yourself by $30 a month. You have no idea what that means to this ministry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to do it. Please call us right now. Please. All right. Let's go to Rachel, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Rachel, you are on. I believe you listen to KGFT, and I think Terry has to pull that call up for it to work. Rachel, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you.
Great. How can we help today?
I have a 16-year-old daughter.
16-year-old daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
And my husband is not her biological father.
Okay.
He has been in her life since she was about a year and a half old, has really tried to connect with her, pretty much, you know, just raised her since she was young.
Mm-hmm.
But he has pretty much just rejected him, and her biological father has abandoned her. And so I'm just really struggling to kind of know how to help that relationship. I feel like I'm stuck in the middle a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you done before? When your daughter has been disrespectful to him, what have you done?
You know, I've really tried to encourage her to just be open to just accepting the love that he has for her. And she has dealt with a lot in her life, and she's in counseling now.
But when she's disrespectful, I mean, are you making that okay to be disrespectful? Kind of like, well, he's not a real father kind of thing, or what? How's that being handled?
You know, I really just tell her that she can't treat him that way, because he's really stepped in and tried to be a father to her, and she's, you know, we've done different things to try and encourage that relationship, I guess.
Okay, well, let me turn it over to, let's go with Sherry first, and then we'll have Chris weigh in on this.
So, you know what? I hear your daughter, and I kind of see her somewhat as a dove in the cleft of a rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she was dropped and abandoned by her birth father. And
right.
So, and she was at a really young age. In the first 2 years of our lives, we answer a couple of questions. One of them has to do with other people. One of them has to do with the attachment question, as am I loved? Do you care for me? Are you going to reject me, or are you going to stay here with me? So am I loved, yes or no? The other question we ask ourselves is, am I safe? Can I trust mm-hmm. you? Can I put my full weight down on you, and are you going to still be there? So she had a major attachment disruption with her dad, and her dad happened to be a man. So this idea that somehow this new dad is going to be grafted in, right? The expectation is he'll be grafted in and he'll fill the shoes of. But you know what? She's afraid.
Yeah.
She's afraid of giving her heart to another man and having him leave too.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I don't know if y'all have tried, and I'm glad she's in therapy, but I would definitely be doing some family work together.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely be having sessions where you are there with her, because she is attached to you, And right. your husband comes in, and the therapist is working with all three of you to help okay. explore her fear.
Sure.
Because I imagine in there something needs to somewhat pop. You know, it almost feels mm-hmm. like this bubble of pain, and I could almost see if she has some good attachment work with a therapist that'll work with all three of you. She may even get to a point where she just breaks down and cries.
Yeah.
And just mm-hmm. is like, I'm so scared. Like, that's what's in her, but no one's been able to get to that as of yet. So that's my thought. What about you, Chris?
I think that that's exactly right, because one of the things that's challenging for your daughter is that she doesn't know why she feels the way she feels. Because when right. when that wounding happens that early in life, our brain isn't fully online. We don't have a context or an understanding of what's really going on other than the fact that I'm scared. And what does happen is I'm going to reject you before you ever have a chance to reject me, because I made a commitment to myself without knowing it that I will never, ever feel that pain again in my life. And I will go to any extent to not feel that pain. Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the process is to then, in a loving, safe, caring environment, touch the pain. And that's just what she needs. And so to affirm what Sherry was telling you, that a great family counselor can help you guys get there as a family and help support her and help her find the language to ask for that support.
Yeah, and it might even be your husband being able to kindly and gently in a setting like that say, I so want to be a safe man for mm-hmm. you. You've not had one. And I'm not sure how I can actually reach in and touch your heart that way. So there are dialogues, there's conversations, there's no push and pull in this. It's more of wooing her out of that crack in the side of the cliff.
You know, and love is patient and love is kind.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of kindness over a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, not easily fixed, but it can be. Her heart can open up to a man, to this man, which is going to allow her to open up, you know, to a safe man and one day have a great relationship. But it would be sad if you weren't dealing with this until she was in college and out of the house. You know, you've got a couple of years here where you guys can really get to work on this and do some great work together if you're willing to do it.
Yeah. And we definitely are. I think my husband has just gotten so frustrated with the relationship of being rejected. And we have done several different family therapy sessions. And he has opened up to her. And she is just it's very hard for her to share her feelings and kind of open up.
Well, have him listen to this show, and he's going to need to be the hearty guy. You're going to need to be that for her.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars. But EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Really hoping that this final couple here, that Rachel and her husband and daughter, they can get to a family counselor.
Can we send them How We Love Our Kids?
Yeah.
That would probably be the best resource for them.
Coming their way. Right now, I don't think my call screener works, but I see who's there. Tony from, Tony's calling. He listens on Sirius XM from Phoenix. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life today, Tony?
Well, it's an issue with my wife and I don't want to make it a bigger issue than what it is. It's something that I'm really wondering about. It concerns me. We've been married 7 years. In September, and when we got married, she had a 16-year-old son, and my daughter was already growing out of the house and everything. And he's, in some respects, one reason why we got married. I saw a young boy that needed direction badly in his life because his biological father is, pretty much useless to him. So that's one reason. And we were best of friends, this lady and I, my wife. And I just knew in my heart that the Lord was telling me to marry this woman, and it was quite possible that I could die of liver cancer when she married me, and she knew that and married me anyway, but the Lord brought us through that with a liver transplant, and our marriage is good. We've never had a serious argument. We're very compatible. We laugh together. We love together. The one thing that is lacking in our marriage is the intimacy. And my wife and I, the day before we got married, after discussing many things together, we never consummated our marriage until after the fact, never even slept together until after the fact, after we got married. And she's my best friend today, no doubt about it. But I remember sitting on the porch telling her that I believe with all my heart still do that if we didn't put God first and then each other and then the kids, in that order, then our marriage would never make it in the true sense of a marriage.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? Because we don't have a lot of time.
I don't mean to ramble on. I've never been attracted to my wife physically, and she knows that. And, it's heartbreaking to her when we do discuss it. And my pastor and some brothers of mine have counseled me in it and saying that will pass. Well, it's almost 7 years later, and it still hasn't passed.
Let me ask you this. Tell me about your exposure to pornography and movies with beautiful women and some nudity in it. Talk about that for a minute.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a history of myself.
You got to be really brief about it, but really brief.
Okay. I grew up in a drug-saturated environment with alcohol, a lot of degrading sexual activity, big time. Big time, for about 27 years of my life. And that's all different now, has been now for about 10 years. I thank the Lord for that. I'm wondering if I'm looking at her as just an object to be pleasing unto me, or why is it that I can't seem to muster up any intimate desire for my wife? Because it bothers me, man. It ain't right.
Yeah. Well, the question is, what causes you not to be attracted to her? That's why I'm asking about pornography Hollywood and all of that.
Okay, my wife is not a small person. She's short and she's round. But she's got the most beautiful heart of anybody I've ever known, and that's what I love about her, and many other things. But as far as physically, to the eye, to my eye, there's no physical attraction there.
At one point, short and round was quite attractive to men. So once again, I'm asking about what is your exposure level to Hollywood and pornography and glamorized beauty?
It was highly exposed up until about 10 years ago when I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's part of the problem is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And Tony, there's actually two issues. They are related, but there's two different issues going on here. And that is, you're rescuing a 16-year-old boy because there's a 16-year-old boy inside of you that needs rescued.
Okay.
You told me about a horrific environment that you grew up in. Tremendous, not just relational disconnection, but a drug-infested, sexually destructive environment is directly threatened to your well-being. If it's not just physically, it certainly is emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so when you see this boy, what you're seeing is yourself. And so your heart just pulls like a magnet straight to him. And so you marry her to rescue yourself. Does that make sense?
To a point, it makes sense.
But the key factor here is that I'm so glad to hear that she's your best friend. But even from an early age, you have not had the opportunity to have a proper context for what sex means to you. You learned that sex is dangerous, that sex is, you said it well, objectifying for people's own pleasure. It's not relational. It's not intimate. And so your body has not woken up to what sex actually is in God's intended design.
That makes sense. It really does.
So, Tony, what the one step that I want to encourage you with your wife is in not ending up necessarily in the bedroom, because I want the process of your body being to waking up to sexual intimacy with your wife is going to be a slow process. So engage in physical touch, the holding of hands, the arms around each other.
Yeah, and you know, this is a situation, absolutely, other people have gone through this, they've changed. They have absolutely changed the way they felt about all women, and certainly they've changed about the way they felt about their wife. And so I'm going to send you this little book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. I think it can give you some fun things to do together to build all of the relationship, including the one in the bedroom. I can't recommend more or enough that you guys get to our marriage intensive, where we would really help you look at this. And this is one of those examples where we, in order to make the physical sexual relationship work, sometimes the man has to make it all about the other person. That's what a time of sexual intimacy becomes, for a while, all about the other person. And things start to change when you kind of lose yourself and your own desire for gratification in that. There are just a lot of things that can be done when you get the help you need, and the intimacy intensive is a great place to start that. Restore is happening on March the 1st in Orange County, Every Man's Battle March the 8th, and our Finding Freedom workshop May the 3rd, all of that right there in Orange County. And then we go to Intimacy and Marriage in Washington, D.C., June the 28th. Would love for you to come be part of that. But maybe you don't need a workshop, you just need a counselor. And if you do, you call us, we'll help you find one. And that number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the line to call, the number to call for a gift of any amount. Or joining Club New Life, $30 a month. Would you help us? We sure could use it. We love you. Thank you. 1-800-229-3000. We'll do another show right now.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.